Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In the Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the podcast we have Bali Chainani from Family Karma on Bravo. Bali is truly one of the stars of the show. It's a great cast overall, really, it really is, but Bali is kind of unquestionably to me one of the standout people. She can go back and forth between the main younger primary cast and also the aunties and uncles, and she can play both roles so well, and she's just kind of irresistible to watch on TV. And so it was great to get some time with her. Bali and I met for the first time at BravoCon this fall when I moderated the Family Karma panel, and she was a delight then and she was a delight this time, and this time she was really open book. You know, she has alluded to this really tough time that she's going through during filming, but also still now, where basically her ex-husband forced her to sell her house that her daughter and she were living in if she wanted him to pay for her their daughter's tuition, which is, I mean, evil, truly, like really just like literally ripping the roots out from under her. But she is getting through this. She's living with her parents and also at her boyfriend O'Malley's in Kentucky. And she's getting through this. She's a strong, resilient woman, and she will be just fine. But it was interesting to hear more about that situation from her because we haven't really gotten that much context on the show. It sounds like there was a lot more filmed about it, but there's a lot to balance on Family Karma. There's so many cast members. So, you know, it was great to hear more about that. It makes more sense. And again, she's going to get through this. But after that, we also just went into all the different relationships, all the drama that's happening on season 3 of Family Karma. It was a great interview. So if you're watching Family Karma, listen to this interview. You'll love it. And if you're not watching Family Karma, wake up, because it's a great show. There's great drama. It's an amazing cast. And it really is groundbreaking in terms of representation. So keep listening for my interview with Bali from Family Karma. Tune in to Family Karma Sundays at 9 p.m. on Bravo. And please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever your podcasts. All right, so we're here with Bali Chainani from Family Karma on Bravo. Bali, how are you? Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm great, and I'm so happy to see your face again after BravoCon.
I know. I was gonna say we met at BravoCon for the first time, but at this point, it feels like that was like 10 years ago at this point.
First of all, BravoCon itself, like just the weekend, felt like it was the longest short weekend of my life. Like I wish I could just rewind and pause and do slow motion, and I feel like even meeting you was just so quick. It's such a blur.
But I'm like, for you looking back, do you have things that pop out to you as things that you always look back to as like being some of your best moments there?
Well, I have to tell you, it's funny you asked me that question. O'Malley and I were talking about it last night, and I was like, that's definitely the highlight of my year. Like BravoCon, that entire weekend from start to finish, it just seems unreal. Like it's so surreal. It's so unreal. Like if I never am back on Bravo, God forbid, again, like if I'm never back on TV again, like just being at BravoCon was so worth it.
Well, I hope you're always, I hope you never leave our TVs, first of all, but second, but I know the feeling. I feel like it was almost like a very affirming experience to be there and okay, you're going on the right path in some capacity, and there's people that love what we're doing.
No. And like the love that Family Karma got for being there and for our show, like it was just, the whole thing was surreal. It was like my massive Cinderella moment and really huge, huge moment for me.
And you were on we did a Family Karma panel that I moderated, but you were on a couple other panels as well. Who's like the one person that you connected with the most, like just on almost like on like a deep level? Like, did you feel like you were kind of spiritually connected to anybody that you met that face to face that weekend?
Well, I was on the Project Runway panel on Sunday. To me, like just again, like huge Cinderella moment, like I could die happy right now, you know, just being on the same space with Dorit and Paige, who are such like fashion icons. And I am so driven by fashion and things I wear and how I feel when I'm wearing them. So just to be on that platform with them and then have Christian Siriano like love what I was wearing, and I'm wearing a sari, like all of that, like all wearing a sari, Christian Siriano, like it was just insane. So that for me, I don't want to say it was spiritually like a connection with anything, but it was just a huge like validation for me as a South Asian single mom in her like late 40s. I'm not even mid 40s. I'm almost 50. So that was just like a really deep rooted like sense of like, yay, you know, like a big win for me. And I was really, 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 and I still am, I continue to say this, I'm really touched and moved by like all the friendships, even though they were just, you know, it could have been cloud talk. It was just in the moment for the weekend. Everybody was so nice. The Salt Lake City women are all amazing. Whitney, Lisa, love them so much.
Yeah, yeah. There was a positivity to the whole thing that I think that like, again, especially for you guys who the show premiered during the pandemic, and it's like, you've only really experienced this whole thing before then, like in virtually and online, and which can be a really positive place, but also a negative place. And so be in this space in person, that's like purely positive that are for the most part, purely positive, and people are really putting out good vibes and treating you like you're movie stars and things that's amazing.
It was really surreal. And maybe, you know, maybe because we're like the little engine that could, and we're not really competing. We're not a Housewives franchise. So we're not competing with anybody. We just, you know, we just went in being ourselves and we were so welcome. And like all the women, Lala, like just sitting doing glam with everybody in the morning. It was just such a feeling of like community. And I loved that.
Totally, totally. And you were also, Bali, you were also recently at the Real Housewives of Miami premiere party, which looked so fun. You and some of the rest of the cast were there. What was that like? Tell me a couple like moments from that stick out.
I mean, those women are all fabulous. You know, that week for me, like literally Monday, I'm in Miami, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was in New York. Thursday, I went back to Miami for the Real Housewives of Miami party. Friday, I'm in Louisville. So I was exhausted, but I went because the majority of our cast was going to be there. And I think there's something to be said about us being there together, celebrating, supporting
another show
that's Miami based. Definitely went because I love Gertie. I love Kiki. I love Nicole. Those are actually friends of mine that I'm obsessed with. And I love the energy that they bring to the show. Had to be there to support Lisa. You know, it's a tough road. And listen, she's killing it. She that revenge body and attitude of hers, good for her. So it was just high energy. And for me personally, just felt like a good, safe space to support each other.
Yeah, it's the Miami love is real between the shows. Yeah. You know, that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Love that. All right. So Bali, we're pretty deep into the Family Karma season now. We're really in it on season three. And I'm just curious, I guess, to start, how are you feeling about it? Like now that you're seeing the reactions, you're seeing what's made it to air, where are you mentally with the whole thing?
I mean, you know, mentally it's a tough season for me just because there's been a huge life altering change in my life. And it's unfortunate that they haven't showed too much of that. So I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling with my personal journey and story not panning out on television to give the viewers, the audience clarity. And I'm getting asked questions on the back end that I'm not sure whether I should be answering or not, because I don't know what the rest of the season looks like. I'm really excited about Amrit's wedding. Really excited. Yeah, really, really excited. You know, have the world watch this wedding, which was so beautiful and so wonderful for us as a community to witness. And, you know, just as far as Monica and Rish are concerned, I mean, it's going to be okay. And I don't want to sound preachy or be a know-it-all, but like, I guess because I'm just older and I've been there, done that, I just kind of want to give her a hug and be like, it's going to be okay. But you know, when you're in it, you're in it. And she's going through the motions. And I keep reminding her that, listen, all your intent is always coming from a good place. And you are doing the right thing as per the man that you are with at the time. So people are going to connect with that, you know, drown out the noise, because all of us ignore the writing on the wall sometimes.
Yeah, totally. So I guess I was going to go to that a little later, but since we're kind of talking about the Monica and Rish situation, so it was hard to tell before BravoCon sort of what Monica's relationship status was, because there's not really any evidence of him on her Instagram account. But going into this season, it's sort of like they're together, really happy. Then this moment happens where his brother's girlfriend starts a rumor of some sort, So, and I guess it's unclear where it goes, because it's hard. She looks single on Instagram, to be honest, but there's been no confirmation either way. Right. What can you tease about sort of what's to come for them? Like, do they, are more struggles to come from this kind of seed of doubt, or are you hopeful that they could?
You know, there's no fuel without fire. What are you, the fuel without fire?
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
That.
Yeah.
And I keep reminding her, like, you may be mad at the wrong person. Like, maybe Neerja's delivery is not great, but I'm going to go with 99.9% she's telling the truth.
Right. And well, that was my question for you, is because, like, watching it on the show, it feels like that Rish got a pass really quickly on the sort of, Brian said he told him a week before, and then he said he had found out that day. And, like, that's a pretty big discrepancy, in my opinion. And we sort of looked past that pretty quickly. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Language was he speaking in when he was, like, describing to or explaining to Monica why he didn't tell her? Like, what language was that? Because it was a riddle, and I'm like, I think you're speaking in English, but we're not understanding, and that's a huge deflection. Yeah, but like I said, we all wear, you know, we all kind of go into relationships wanting it to last forever and wanting to assume and believe the best of our partners and our person. And I think that's where she's at. You know, I think that she's really struggling with, okay, what between head and heart. And that's, and sometimes it takes a minute for the two to give you some sort of clarity.
Right, totally. And even if nothing happened, I feel like she's seeing some things about him.
Yeah.
Like, even if he was totally faithful and it's just sort of like a kind of, it looks bad kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's still kind of reacting to this in a way that she probably does not, that she clearly doesn't like. And I think that's telling.
100%. And I think that, you know, just last night we watched her say, like, you need to have my back. And that I continue to, again, being married and divorced twice, that's the first thing I will say, like, you got to have your person's back. Like, no matter what, like, grow a set, have a spine, no matter what. And I just think that some of these Indian men are, not some, most of Indian men are not raised to succeed on their own. They're raised to succeed in a family unit, and that family unit does not include their partner. They're raised to be good sons, good brothers, and good business. You know,
right?
Good business.
It seems like sort of the cultural sort of lesson is to, like, be loyal to your family, be loyal to your family, but then that inevitably that's going to kind of conflict with, okay, also be loyal to your partner. And that's a really tough balance.
And unfortunately, they learn that lesson when divorce papers are being signed. I'll be the first one to tell you that.
Mm, yeah, totally. I mean, that's, I think we've seen it in other couples on the show already. Like, that's a really tough thing. And then it creates conflict kind of generationally as well. So,
100%. Day late, dollar short, like, too late.
Oh my gosh. So Bala, you referenced that, you know, something's going on in your life. And I remember I interviewed you, Monica, and Anisha on the red carpet after our panel. And you alluded to the fact that you weren't in a great place for this first wedding in the season. That wasn't really shown, I guess, during that wedding part. But then we do see, like, right when we get back to Miami, that your ex is forcing you guys to sell the house so that he pays for your daughter's tuition. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a really tough, bad position for you to be in. And is that sort of what you're alluding to, that big life change? Or is there more to that we haven't seen or might see?
Yeah, there's no longer, like, alluding to it. It's happened. I've had to sell my house. The one that
I'm so sorry.
Was raised in, thank you, the one that Anushka was raised in, because her father is still just very angry that I picked up and left a bad marriage. You know, like, it's that typical Indian mentality where, like, okay, kind of waited all of these years to finally punish you, and this is how I'm going to punish you. I'm not going to pay for Anushka's higher education and her life in New York, and you've got the house, you took her, you take care of her kind of situation. Yeah, long story short, I've had to sell my house and I'm living at my parents' at the moment. And, you know, people keep assuming that, okay, I sold my house in the peak of, like, Miami market. I must have made a ton. Yeah, I made money on the sale, but, you know, I didn't get a dollar of it because I want to make sure Anushka's okay. So I'm living at home with my parents, and I spent a lot of time here in Louisville as well.
Does she have a bad relationship with him as well? Like, is, like, cause that must, cause to me, it's sending a message from him to her as well, not just to you.
Her father and her have a very transactional relationship. He was not raised to be like, I love you. What do you need? I'm sorry. Can we discuss? It's very transactional. That's how he was raised. That's how his relationship with Anushka is. And quite frankly, I support her having a relationship with her father because I do think that's important for all kids and parents. But I also have reached a stage where I'm like, you know what? He's got a lot of money and you're his only kid. Play the game. Play the game, because there's nothing else he can take from me. He's taken right. It all.
Totally. He's taken,
I mean, so play the game now.
Everything but her. And so if she can play something, yeah. I'm totally with you on that.
Now,
so
what? There's nothing left for me to give him anymore. Mm-hmm. So now you just be smart, because it's all yours.
Looking forward for you, like, where do you hope to go from here in terms of? Is there a game plan for moving out? Are you kind of settled and happy for right now in terms of before you kind of do any rash movements?
Yeah, no, I'm devastated. I'm devastated on many different levels. I'm devastated because, you know, it was the home that I raised her in. It was a roof over our head. She no longer has a home to come home. She has my parents' house, grandparents' house, you know, obviously, but that sense of home was taken away from her and me. So right now I'm just kind of letting it sit, you know, spending the holidays with people I love, and we'll figure it out. I mean, and like I said, it's not like I got this huge lump sum that I can go and invest in. So waiting for the market to come down a little and see what to do with that and where to go from there. But in the meantime, spending time in Louisville, spending time in Miami, and just letting everybody pamper me.
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, like you have gotten through things before and you'll get through this, but also you have this amazing community around you that is supporting you and will continue to support you for as long as you need that. So that must feel at least a little bit like you have that kind of that it platform. Really, and
it really does. And, you know, in a really weird way, it also, I there's a sense of relief, because for so many years I've protected him and I've protected how terrible that marriage was, because I never wanted to speak ill of her father. I never wanted to be that parent, you know, that like hurt their child by speaking ill of their dad. So now it's out and it's not my fault. He kind of did this. So there's a sense of relief where, like, I'm like, okay, he's a piece of shit, and now it's on him. And now everybody knows your dad is a piece of shit, and it's on him. So
totally. And also there's sort of a clean break there almost, because he doesn't have anything over you in terms of literally like owning part of your house, you know?
Because, and like I said, in that quick like 8 seconds that was aired about my story there, where I'm like, I'm tired, and you don't hear anything else after that. That's kind of what I mean. Like, I'm just tired of being strong. You know what I mean? For all these years, I've had to put up this like sense of like, I'm this really strong person and everything is good. And now it feels good to be like, yeah, this sucks. And thank you for letting me cry.
Totally. And it's real. And it's honestly, It's a very extenuating circumstance, but it's also relatable to see somebody who is being vulnerable and sharing that. So I commend you, and I hope that we hear more about it. So, you know, I think that's really big of you. And you also have O'Malley. I mean, like, you guys are in a really happy, healthy, long relationship. How are you guys doing? I know you're together for the holidays. Like, tell me about where you and O'Malley are right now.
Well, you know, he's just been such a rock. He's been so supportive, and it's just insane, because every time I've got this plan and I'm ready to move, something happens and something shifts, whether it's the pandemic and Anushka coming back, you know, during the pandemic for a whole gap year. And now it's the house situation. And I was so ready to move. And now with the whole house situation, I'm like, you know what? I think I need to stay in Miami for a bit longer, just to feel like, A, my roots haven't been disrupted by this.
Right.
You know, my sense of community, family, and my roots are not disrupted by the four walls I just lost. Number one. Number two, I also don't want to be that person that moves because it seems like I have to now, you know? And I don't want him to ever wake up one day and be like, oh, well, she's here now because she has to be. So I'm just kind of taking some time to heal internally and let it just all pan out naturally. But he's just, he's so good. Sometimes he's too good. Sometimes I'm like, I wish he would just be like, F off. It's either now or never. But he's just so good sometimes. And I'm like, oh, it's annoying.
Listen, you that's a good thing to complain about.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you guys just seem really great. And I'm curious for you, because I know that you get asked about this a lot, like about getting married or not getting married or whatever. But I feel like you've answered that question. But I'm curious, like, watching this season, there have been two big weddings. There are two big weddings that you saw happen on camera, filming happened. There was drama probably more around the first one, but probably also around the second one. How does that affect how you think about, maybe one day would I want to or not want to do this on camera? Like, how did that experience and watching that happen, watching your friends go through that, how does that affect your mentality?
I mean, I've had two weddings and I've also had two divorces. So if and when we get married, and I'm not saying that we won't, if and when we do get married, it won't be this big fat in wedding. It will be a very classy, elegant, intimate one that you will all be invited to.
There we go. Okay. I like to hear that. And then I did read, I mean, speaking of that, I read in an interview you did, I think probably going into the season, that you have sort of like a resentment of the big Bollywood style wedding. I think it was a quote in, I forget what outlet it was, but it was like, you basically just the style of that is sort of something that you feel some type of way about. And I'm curious, is that because of your first two marriages? Did you have big weddings for those first two?
I don't remember what I said. But no, I love a big Indian wedding. I really, really do love a big Indian Bollywood wedding. I think they're the best parties of life. I mean, I just feel a certain way about, like, you know, when I was at Vishal and Rich's wedding, I'm just not a huge believer in their relationship. So I think that's where that stems from, where I'm like, right. I'm just like, get your together before you spend all of this money and have all of us come and celebrate like this debauchery of a relationship, not just of a personality, but of a relationship. So I love an Indian wedding. Absolutely love, so excited about Amrit and Nicholas's, because just the vibe and the feeling towards that commitment is so different for what I feel about Rich and Michelle's. And rightfully so, you're looking at what's panning out. I'm like, can I have my money back, please? May I please have my money back?
In your mind, is it?
She called me out about not giving her a gift. I'm like, bitch, I showed up. That's your gift. And now may I have my money back, please?
Listen, you said it, but I guess for you, like, because I think we all have seen since the beginning of the show that there are some fundamental issues with their relationship, and they still have to work through some things. Mm-hmm. Do you feel as though there are things that they can get past, or are they just like fundamental, like things that just will never really match up with them fully?
I mean, there are moments where like Richa and Vishal seem so connected in the most toxic, odd way. Mm. They just seem like they're perfect for each other. And then 9 out of 10 times I'm like, he's just getting beat up and I'm not sure if he deserves it or if he doesn't. I yo-yo back and forth. I really just yo-yo back and forth about the two of them. But, you know, I've also realized every relationship has their own rules and they work everybody's dancing to their own tune. You know, not everybody understands why I'm in this long distance relationship and how it works and why it works. And so who am I to really judge? But like, again, if you're going to invite me to your 5-day wedding while I'm moving and having like complete meltdowns, then I don't know, at least sleep with your wife that first night.
What do you make of the whole drinking, of her sort of ultimatum about drinking? What do you make of that?
I'm allergic to drunk behavior. I'm not a big fan either, you know, and I know that for her it comes from a place of pain and just wanting the best for him. So I'm going to say that Vishal needs to curb his drinking. I'm on her side when it comes to this. I do think that she enables some of it, but I think now that she's come full circle with it, and the family has decided, hey, listen, we'll do whatever it takes to help you, and if it means that we don't drink around you, we won't drink. I'm team Richa on that. I am definitely like all about, you know, a healthier, sober Vishal.
There's also a literal health component to it, which I think we sometimes forget about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of drunk, debaucherous stupidness. I don't like it.
Right. So I'm curious, okay, because like Anisha is somebody who the fans sort of latched, I think you and Anisha are two of the people that the fans really latched onto from the beginning as like fan favorites, outspoken, voice of the people kind of personalities on the show. And Anisha between seasons moved to Arizona for the most part to be with a man who we have not seen, kind of a mystery man. They're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting to watch her kind of pop in. And I love Anisha. I love watching her. I know that she's one of your best friends. You know, yes. She pops in, some pots are stirred. We hear her thoughts on things. And then she leaves for an episode or two. What was that like, I guess, during filming? And what's it sort of like for you as you know, she's one of your best friends on the cast. I mean, you're close to a lot of people, but that must be a weird kind of experience for you this time.
You know, I really do miss her. I would be lying if I said I didn't miss her, but I also get it as a woman, and her good friend. I get what she's been wanting and manifesting in her life. And I'm really proud of her and excited for her that she's doing what she needs to do for herself, first and foremost. You know, not many of us under the circumstances we're raised in and stuff think about ourselves right off the bat. We're so driven by like doing the right thing for the community and the family. And I'm just happy that she's found her person and she's giving it her best shot. But I miss her. And truthfully, like, I'm just really busy unpacking, packing, you know, living out of boxes, dealing with like Vishal's business, Monica crying.
There's no shortage of other things happening outside of Anisha.
And frankly, Anisha's not missing a beat because I'm getting in the car and calling her and telling her everything.
Of course. I wouldn't expect anything less.
Yeah. Literally, I've gone from FaceTiming, sleeping with Anisha, with O'Malley, to now Anisha.
Love it.
She's getting all the tea firsthand.
So you understand her situation. Also, I think you understand it extra because you do have this long-term, long-distance relationship.
Look bad. I'm like, please, I'm trying not to tell O'Malley she's moved permanently.
Are there other people on the cast that are more like, kind of intrinsically frustrated with it at all? Sort of where she can kind of come pop in and out, or is everyone sort of on the same page about it?
Yeah, but you know what? Go yourselves. Like, please, everybody take care of you. Like, stay in your own lane. You know what I mean? Like, let's not judge everybody else's relationship because let's start looking at let's not get it twisted. Have you seen what all of our relationships on the show look like right lately?
It's messy.
So I think Anisha is just fine and doing right by her.
Okay, good, good. So Brian and Avni, that was it's been an interesting thing to watch, I think. And are you close with her? I can't tell sort of how close you two are.
No, I'm not. I mean, I like her. She's quirky. She's nice. But no, I'm not close with her. I just...
What do you think, like, Brian is taking from this whole situation? Like, is he just like, you know what, maybe I'm meant to be, like, single right now? Or is he, like, what do you make of Brian's love life situation?
Brian's taking nothing out of it. Brian's learning nothing ever. Brian's learning absolutely nothing. You know, he is still getting fed by his parents, literally. And Brian's learning nothing. At this point, I feel bad for Avni. At this point, Avni, run.
All right.
Yeah.
He likes to have fun.
He's a great kid. And that's the opera. You know, Brian is still in his frat party.
Yeah. So, Bali, I think we're running out of time. But, you know, we do have another huge groundbreaking wedding that's coming later this season. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's going to be really special for everything that you've said to me about at BravoCon and sort of alluding to it to now. Can you just tease that whole wedding weekend for me and sort of, is there going to be any drama around it, or is it going to be sort of a straightforward celebratory affair?
I mean, listen, it's a gay Indian wedding. Is there going to be drama? Yes. Aunties are involved and a gay couple is involved.
Inherently, yeah. Drama. Yeah.
There's going to be drama, but at the end of the day, it's a really beautiful, it's just beautiful for all of us to be there and witness this, because I know I've never been to a gay wedding, and this was just, this really changed, I think, all of our lives. I mean, and I continue to say that Amrit and Nicholas don't realize how much they've changed all of our lives, and it's very, very special.
It's amazing. I can't wait to watch it. I mean, just watching that whole journey has been really, honestly, like, it feels like a privilege to see it all happen, I think. So
100%. That's exactly what it felt like to even be there. And it really is very special.
Hmm. Well, Bali, thanks so much for your time today. It's so fun to get some more FaceTime with you. And I'm thinking about you. I hope you have an amazing holiday. And you're going to get through this tough period, because you're a very strong, resilient woman. I know that. So I'm just proud of you for sticking through it.
I appreciate you saying that. Happy holidays.
Thank you so much. All right, Bali. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Of course.
Thanks for tuning in to We Should Talk. I hope you enjoyed the interview. You can find out more about In the Know at inthenow.com. You can follow me, Gibson.